Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Oh, praise God. Welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher. We have been getting into kindness. And honestly, I get so fired up about these things because, you know, when we actually allow it just to be about God's kindness, it gets a whole lot easier. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And he's already seen everything that we would ever go through, and he's made a way that we could walk in victory and life more abundantly in every area of life. But it's going to come through his kindness and not through our works, not through our good behavior. There's value to holiness and there's value to obedience, and I am not belittling any of that. It's just a different context than his kindness. Nothing can earn kindness. Kindness comes from the one who's giving it, and it comes freely, and it comes because of their nature, not because of our behavior. And so kindness is not a reciprocal act. Kindness is not a response or a reaction. It is literally an outflow of the nature of the one who's being kind. And so that's what the word kind comes from, like I said in the first cast about these things. And so I wanted to, there's a few, when I was doing a study on kindness a few years back, when he was talking to me about this, I noticed something that in the Old Testament, and in like 24 verses in Psalms, you see the phrase loving kindness. And let me just read a couple of these. There's like 24 of them. I'm not going to read them all. I'm only going to read a couple of them. But he says here, it says, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice." And then another one says, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." Now, it says, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name." Now, there's so much about his loving kindness, especially in the book of Psalms. Now, the word kindness is found, you know, throughout the Bible, but there's this phrase loving kindness that is really linked together in the King James, New King James, as one word. It's just loving kindness as one word. And when I was doing a study on this, I came across this phrase loving kindness and noticed that it was really found in the Old Testament more so, and obviously in the book of Psalms more than anywhere else. But I was curious about this, and so I began to look up just this word and you know, if there was any big difference between it and other things. And the one thing that I found, though, is that one of the scholars that was originally translating the Hebrew into English back, obviously, hundreds of years ago, he came across this word kindness. And in the Hebrew, it's quite a few times in the Old Testament, but especially in the book of Psalms. And and he came across this word kindness. And of course, he's a Hebrew scholar, and so the thing is, he knew that this word kindness, if all he did was translate it as the word kindness, it wouldn't give off the right connotation. It wouldn't really express the nature of this word. And he really kind of wrestled with how to do this, because this word kindness that's talking about God's kindness toward us in the book of Psalms 24 different times, and I encourage you to look up these verses, but you know, just look up in a concordance, or Google it or whatever. But this word kindness in the book of Psalms is like there's a violence to this kindness. This kindness is so extreme. This kindness is it's like it goes so far beyond benevolence. It goes so far beyond being nice to somebody. It goes so far beyond just kind of going out of your way for somebody. It goes so far beyond that. This word kindness is like there's a violence to it. It literally is like this thing that just eats somebody up, and it has to be expressed in such a huge way that it doesn't make sense to just the natural mind. It's like there was this word kindness, and when this Hebrew scholar was looking at this word, he knew that this word was so much bigger than what our English language would usually contextualize the word kindness. And so he didn't want to translate it as the word kindness, but he didn't know how to translate it because it's so extreme. It's so resplendent. It's is so over the top. It's so opulent. It's just so excessive. I mean, it's like that was one of the things. It was just so excessive that it would kind of freak people out. And so he was trying to determine how he could express this word where people would be able to receive it, you know, in its, you know, in basically what it was intended to be. And so that's why he put the term loving kindness. He took the word love and he attached it to it because he knew that the only way somebody can contextualize this kindness is in the context of love. That when you're in love with somebody, or when you love them as a child, or the father loves a child, or whatever, in that kind of love, that there is a kindness that comes forth that has no limits. That there's a kindness that comes forth that literally has no bounds. And this kindness is the nature of God, is the nature of our Father. And He made us His children, and in making us His children, this level of kindness is attached by nature. That there is a nature of excessive, out of bounds, I mean, almost like obscene lavishness in kindness. And this is what this word means when over through Psalms, when he's like, revive me in your kindness. Two different verses I read there. Revive me in your kindness. Let your kindness revive me. I love that phrase. That tells me that until I actually partake of the kindness of God, I don't know who I'm supposed to be. I don't know what my relationship is supposed to be. I don't know what my context is because I haven't been revived yet. I'm still in some kind of weird, you know, like slumber or kind of a trance or some kind of delusional state where I think I know what reality is, but I don't. And when His loving kindness actually gets a hold of us, when His loving kindness is allowed to flow, that will revive us. That will literally bring us back to the point where we begin to understand things in the context of being children of God and God as our Father. Because when God is your Father, when God, the great God Almighty, is your Father, when the one who created the heavens and the earth, when the one who is good and nothing out, you know, there's only light, no darkness at all in Him, when He's the one that is your Father, then what do you expect every day? You know, when I was raised, you know, we weren't raised with a lot of money. We went through some really hard times financially, actually. But there was times when we had a little bit more than other times. But based on my knowledge, even as a child, of our financial situation, I had expectation of what kind of food we eat, what kind of car we would drive. I had expectation of when we went to the store, what we were probably going to get. I had expectation of, you know, when we went Christmas shopping, probably we weren't going to go to Tiffany's or to Saks Fifth Avenue, right? We went to Montgomery Ward's, you know, which, for those of you who don't know, used to be a department store. But you know, there was expectation based on the resource that I, even as a child, was aware of in our family. And that expectation, I wasn't disappointed or anything. I just had an expectation. And so that expectation began to fuel my reality from day to day, where I just fell into, you know, a pattern of thought that was tied to the expectation of my resource. Now, so understand that expectation, even though it might have been the experience I grew up, it might have been the circumstances I was raised in, that wasn't what God had intended for anybody. God wants our expectation to be tied to Him. He wants us to be revived by His loving kindness. He wants His loving kindness to be able to flow through us in such a way that first it shakes us. I mean, do you remember when Jesus, you know, when He was on the, when He told the disciples, you know, right before He called them, He said, hey, you know, cast out your nets for a draught. And, you know, they'd been fishing all night long. And then, so Peter cast out one net, he starts pulling it up, it's about to break. His partners come along with the other boat. They begin filling up both boats so that they begin to sink. They come to shore, and it says that Peter falls on his knees and says to Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Look, I mean, notice Jesus had already, this was not his first encounter with Peter. If you read chronologically, you find that this was not the first time that he met Peter. He'd actually already known Peter. Peter had heard him teach. Peter, Jesus had already, you know, had interacted with Peter a few times. And yet we don't see Peter doing this. We don't see Peter literally saying, I'm a sinful man, depart from me, until the fish situation. right? And so until Jesus showed the kindness of God in such a way that two fishing boats had so much fish in them that they're about to sink, see how excessive that is. There's an excessiveness to it. That kindness exposed Peter as somebody who didn't feel worthy of that level of kindness. So if they would have just got half a boat full, Peter would have been like, man, that's pretty cool. Man, I you know, that's cool. Thank you, Jesus. Or if they would have got a full boat full, Peter would have been, man, that's so good, man. There's just more than what we could have, what we were asking for here. That was just such a great day. And they would have walked away with a great testimony that day of God's goodness. But instead, what God does is he has not just two boats full, but two boats that are about to sink. Okay, and that pushes Peter to the limit where it exposes a works mentality in Peter that says, I am not worthy of what you just did, so you need to leave, or else I'm probably going to face a consequence because I'm a sinful man. Now, see, that's the level of kindness that God wants to show to us, where it challenges us at first, where it literally challenges us. And this is not going to come just through us praying for things. This is going to come through us humbling ourselves to the kindness of God and detaching works from what we allow him to do for us and being like, okay, Lord, I repent. I repent for letting my life be a mirror of my worthiness. I would rather my life be an example of his goodness and his kindness. I'd rather be a trophy of his grace. I'd rather my life make no sense to anybody that sees it. I'd rather my life just be like, wow, you know, but where it only fits in the context of love. You understand? So, you know, when we say things like, you know, if somebody sees you and they see you walk up and let's say you have, you know, you have a kid and you have a son and all they see is you walk up to a young man, you know, a boy, you know, and you just start giving him gifts and giving him gifts, giving him gifts, giving him gifts, and they don't know who you two are and they don't know that you're related. That might freak them out a little bit. They'd be like, is something? What's up with that? But then if you said, oh, this is my son, they'd say, oh. Okay, see, it's totally acceptable because love frames the context for acceptable kindness. Okay, let me say that again. Love frames the context for acceptable kindness. And so what we need to do is we need to allow God's love for us that he demonstrated when he sent Jesus while we were yet a sinner, he demonstrated that love toward us, praise God. Now he demonstrates that love toward us. That's just a demonstration of that love. Let me just segue that a little bit where, that's not really a segue, but anyway, you know what I mean? Let me just take a little side thought here where you know, it says that God so commends or demonstrates his love toward us. In that, while we were at sinners, he died for us. He demonstrated it. When I do a demonstration, you know, I used to, you know, for a short time, I sold vacuum cleaners, and we'd go to people's houses and do a demonstration. Well, that demonstration wasn't everything that the vacuum could do. It was a little tiny clip. It was a snapshot of what the vacuum could do. I was doing a demonstration. The demonstration was accurate. The demonstration was true. The demonstration was exactly what the vacuum cleaner could do, but it wasn't all that it could do. It was simply a snapshot. It was simply a little sliver, a dissection of several things the vacuum could do. And so when you owned the vacuum, you could do this and much more, right? It was a demonstration. Jesus, I want you to see this. It says Jesus was a demonstration toward us. And it even says that how that God demonstrated his power toward us. He demonstrated his power toward us when he raised Christ from the dead. That's just a demonstration. It was true, it was accurate, it was needed, but it was a demonstration. It's not even the full deal. You know, when we come into the family of God, then we get the full deal. We own the vacuum. Now we need to realize that there is a kindness that he wants to show us that literally only makes sense in the context of love. It's so excessive. It's so out of bounds. It only makes sense in the context of an infinite love coming from an infinite Father who has infinite resource, who literally only created these things to give to us. You know, and this is the kindness of God. That our family and our minds and our souls and our emotions and all of these things. I mean, right now, you know, there's so many people who've gone through, you know, soulish trauma and crisis, and I'm not belittling any of those things. But what I'm seeing is that more and more people are realizing that there's things that had effect on them soulishly. There's things that had effect on them. There's trauma they went through, and there's abuse they went through, and there's all kinds of things that they went through that had effect on them. And just to be real clear, it's the kindness of God that literally will break that in a heartbeat. because all those things that happen to us try to tell us that they try to put us in a box of being not worthy or only being worthy of certain behavior or getting into ruts where we're constantly fueling things and causing cycles of abuse in our life or different things like this, or going into cycles of soulish depression and all that stuff. Man, those are very real, tangible things. But what's more real is the kindness of God. And he demonstrated his love when he gave Jesus, and he demonstrated his power towards us when he raised him from the dead. And now we can actually receive his kindness. Now we can actually receive something that is so excessive, something that literally, if they don't know that the God is my Father, they couldn't make sense of it. That's the kind of life we're supposed to be living, that they could only look at that and go, God must be their Father. Their Father must be God, because otherwise this can't be happening. And that's what happened, you know, with Jesus over and over again, where the Pharisees were the ones who were always judging Jesus, but the common people were always saying, well, he must be sent by God or else this couldn't happen. You know, and you read through the Gospels time and again. The Pharisees were judging. The Pharisees were saying, oh, he's of the devil. The Pharisees were saying, oh, he's a heretic. And all the common people, all the people who were just literally having a covenant with Abraham were going, no, he must be of God or else this couldn't happen. You know, and they didn't have a problem with what Jesus was doing. It was religion that was, because a works-based mentality will resist the kindness of God. And so, even if we've been blessed, let's just say we've been blessed so much, you know, in different areas of our life. I just wanted to let God be bigger. Let him bless you. Let him just bless you to where it just blows you away. Let him be so kind to you to where it's exceedingly abundantly of all we can ask or imagine. That's the kindness that he wants to demonstrate. Something that you can't even imagine. Even if you were to take your imagination right now and begin to go so far out to where you'd say, man, you know, my imagination can paint some pretty vivid pictures of some massive mind-blowing abundance or massive mind-blowing influence or peace or joy or strength or whatever. And yet God goes, yeah, but I have more than that. And it's going to come through kindness. It's going to come through kindness. We can't earn what's infinite. It's impossible to work long enough to earn infinity. And so what he did is he put it in grace, and he flows it through this kindness, and he says, let me just be kind to you. And one of the best ways we can do that, honestly, and getting our awareness of kindness, is when we just literally begin to flow kindness through us in such a way that it makes no sense to the natural mind. That literally makes no sense, so that people are like, well, why are you doing that? Because I'm kind. Kindness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it says love is patient, love is kind, right? It's the second one in the list, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. And I remember, man, I used to wrestle with kindness, because my brain wanted to be so analytical that it was so works-based. It always had to do with just earning everything, producing things, procedures and methods and principles. And you know, there's validity to a lot of that stuff. But I can't mix those things with the kindness of God. There's validity to the principles of God, but then there's the kindness of God. There's validity to obedience and holiness and right living, but then there's the kindness of God. And we can't mix those two. One doesn't earn the other. And so I just, you know, I maybe just pick one thing in your life, or you know, do it on both ends, where it's like, pick one thing in your life and say, okay, Father, just one thing. Don't just say everything. You know, don't operate in general terms with God. He does things specifically for us. Let's be specific with him and say, okay, in this one area, you know, maybe it's over my son or my daughter. Maybe it's my marriage. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's my finances. Maybe it's just one certain thing that I think I have need of financially or whatever it is. I mean, break it down as simple as you can, but just say, in this one thing, I'm going to let God be kind to me. And I will not receive this because I've done this and this and this. I'll listen to God, and God will tell me what I need to do and what do I need to adjust. But my adjustment doesn't earn this. My growth doesn't earn this. My spiritual maturity doesn't earn this. It's the kindness of my Father that will do exceedingly abundantly of all I can ask or imagine. And in like manner, like I said, that's the one side of that coin. The other side of the coin is beginning to say, okay, how can I show kindness? Where can I be kind to somebody? Where can I freely give them something, expecting absolutely nothing in return? And if they spit in my face, even if they forsake it, even if they turn their back on me, even if they do something that to me looks like they're throwing it in my face, it looks like they don't appreciate it, looks like they don't value it, looks like they don't do all those things, they're not validating me in any way, shape, or form, or confirming anything about me, I can be kind to them. And what can I do for that person? And just be kind to them and begin to allow God to put us in the framework of kindness. So we live in a universe of kindness where we're freely giving it and we're freely receiving it. And this is where we begin to operate in a way that literally will shake the people around us, because they'll see kindness flowing out of us and they'll see kindness flowing to us. And that will cause the world to jealousy. To say, man, I want that relationship, that where a God who loves me and is kind to me, even in the middle of you know, me still growing in areas, you know, he's not giving me these things just because I'm growing. He's giving these things because I'm his son. And this is, it's a loving kindness that revives me. It's a loving kindness that blows me away. It's a loving kindness that exposes works. It's a loving kindness that exposes, you know, my limitation of him. It's a loving kindness that makes no sense to anything outside of love. And so, Father, right now, we just receive that. We receive it freely, and we want to give it freely. And we thank you, Lord God, for the currency of kindness. We thank you, Lord God. It's not exchange-based at all. It's a kingdom of kindness that we flow in and from, and we steward in this earth. And we just thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.